Got your Bibles there, you can turn open to the passage that Ruby read to us today. Luke chapter 2. Following the arrival of the Son of God in Bethlehem, as you know, if you know the Bible, the family that were chosen to nurture him had to flee. They fled to Egypt for a time, and then they came back to Nazareth to settle. When they'd performed all the things according to the law, that verse 39 said that Ruby read, they returned to Galilee to their own city in Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then jump over to verse 51. A little bit later, he went down with them from Jerusalem when he got lost, as far as they were concerned, went back down to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. He fitted in as a child in the family, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. That was so until he was 30 years old. Nothing else is said about him. 30 years was kind of the accepted time of a rabbi, being able to take people with him on the road, which is what they did. And so sometimes we can think of that period of Jesus' life as the ordinary years. But there is nothing ordinary about the heavenly life lived on earth. Doesn't always appear very extraordinary on the surface. And sometimes us Christians feel that our lives are very ordinary unless they're involved in some big thing, some big God thing, some kind of worthwhile ministry of some sort, some program, some church, perhaps in a church-based activity or a Christian kind of organisation, or a big conference that we go to where there's thousands of other Christians, and or we're involved in some sort of a mission group or something like that. If we're not in those kind of situations, or we don't have the opportunity to because we're looking after our aged mother or whatever it might be, or our disabled child, we can think our lives very ordinary. Jesus' ordinary life lived in Nazareth is very instructive for us to stop and think about what's really important for us in this coming year. Keep your thumb in Luke 2. I just want to read a few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which says, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. This is verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 4. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so towards all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you that you increase more and more in your love, and that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, and to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, and that you may walk properly towards those who are outside of the kingdom, and that you may lack nothing and be able to, I guess, look after yourselves and share with others. There's nothing ordinary about the heavenly life lived on earth. The context of those verses talk about walking in a way that pleases God, just in the ordinary, in the everyday life that we live. Talks in the context there about how God's will for us is our sanctification, which is the process that we're in now that we belong to Christ, to be changed and transformed more like Christ. And it uses the word holiness in there, which is a big churchy word, isn't it? But it goes on to explain that holiness is things like walking in a way that helps others to be touched by God in our life, brotherly love, sisterly love, it talks about in that passage as well. Holiness isn't preaching a great sermon on holiness or knowing a whole lot of Bible verses about being holy. It's about living a life that is wholly His in the ordinary, everyday areas of life. Brotherly love and a quiet life. What does it say it there? Aspire to live a quiet life, minding your own business. Isn't that interesting? Perhaps the Thessalonians were particularly focused on the fact that the Lord was coming soon. They didn't think about anything else. They got so caught up in just waiting for Him and arguing with one another about this, you know, understanding of this or that or something else. They weren't working, so they had plenty of time on their hands to be busybodies or whatever. Maybe that's the context for them. But the word comes to us too. I wonder if any of us really think seriously about aspiring to a quiet life. I wonder if any of us really think that that's a worthy aspiration to have. It's certainly completely opposite to the world in which we live. Talk about countercultural Christianity. Imagine, how would the world be impacted if all the Christians all over the globe aspired to live a quiet life, minding their own business, brotherly love, sisterly love, walking in a way that pleases God in the ordinary, everyday areas of their life. Perhaps as much could be done as what is being done now in the frenetic Christian activity that the world may see Christians involved in at the present time. A quiet life doesn't necessarily mean a lazy life or a boring life. A quiet life is a life that's lived in the presence of God, aware of Him. Minding our own business doesn't mean that we lock ourselves in our house and never help anybody. But it's a life that's lived not focusing on what other people are doing and what God thinks of that, but of just living our own life, worrying about our own business, recognising that we're accountable or we are in the presence of God in that sense as well. Working with our hands, walking properly to outsiders. This is how our Lord spent 30 years in Nazareth. And this kind of living is anything but ordinary. Ordinary in our Christian world at the moment is crazy, racing around. And sometimes being so busy. I know some people with non-Christian people in their families, and at Christmas time their Christian siblings are so busy in their church program that they don't have any time for their siblings who don't know the Lord. And it seems counterproductive to me. Jesus spent 30 years walking in a way that pleased God, brotherly love, a quiet life, minding His own business, working with His hands, walking properly towards outsiders. This kind of living is the pattern that He set for us. And it's not easy. It's not easy to live like this. It can only be achieved through the power of the Holy Spirit. The child, verse 40 of Luke 2 says, grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's the result of living a quiet life. we learn to live in the rhythm of God and in the rhythm of grace. The rhythm of this life, this kind of life, results then, as it says in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and with all people that mixed with him. Make it our aspiration, Thessalonians says, to live a quiet life, to mind our own business, to work with our hands, to walk properly towards outsiders. The rhythm of that kind of life enables us to be reflective and teachable, available, useful, fruitful, and faithful. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the passages in the Scriptures and the instructive truths that are there for us. As we think of Christ, as we set our eyes on Christ and run the race that's set before us, Father, let us realise that those ordinary years in Nazareth were just as important, just had their place in his overall life that he lived for us. And help us to do likewise, we pray, for we ask it in his name. Amen.